Okay, we've got names flying in. So we'll get started because we're going over. So the first person to get their name on the list there is Massimo. Can we hear from Massimo, please?
Hello. Hey,
Hey,
can you hear
Massimo.
me okay?
Perfect, yeah.
Wonderful. My name is Massimo, and I'm coming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is in America. So thanks for having me. And I guess I'll just go ahead with the poetry. And thanks to the two readers. I really enjoyed the poetry a lot. And this is my first international event. So this is, I think, a really beautiful thing that you guys are facilitating. So thank you. All right. Speak strongly, but speak softly. Speak softly, but speak strongly. I know what it's like to speak wrongly, feeling like webs I have woven have caught me, unconsciously weaving and threading, while consciously turning the webs into netting. Climb, but I rise without stressing, because I am not going, but coming from heaven. They say that an angel is winged, and born to begin with, all mortals are wicked. But my angels are mortals I stick with, the people I love who loved me when I didn't. Yeah, I'm a mess, but my mess is my message. My beautifully stained ceremonial vestige. The book of my life may be worn at the edges, but I love my story much more than your legends. Some of my blessings were presents, while other ones came by great efforts and measurements. But even my gifts are just testaments. With no gifts left, all I give is my presence. A body of flesh, I am fragile, an earth made of fire and stone, still I travel. A water, air, spirit, I bubble and babble. My life's so impossible, it's almost laughable. My heart may be small, but it's heavy, tight as the ball of a fist, but holds plenty. My heart may be hard, but beats gently. It knows that it hurts when I love, but still lets me. My heart may be dark, but not empty. May be open, but still say no entry. My heart may love yours, but don't tempt me. Because for any heart song, the heartbeat must be steady. Because I know the feeling of failing, skating on ice when my steps send me sailing. But why wait till I'm aging and ailing to let go my pride and hold on to the railing? There's no shame in having a harness, assuming your head won't be saved by its hardness. All errors are fairer in margins. Your wisdom is nothing to fear, my dear darlings. But the heart has its reasons that reason knows not nor believes in. And the heart has its secrets that trying to keep in, we just end up leaking. So I speak my heart unashamed. Judge me with scales, but your heart weighs the same. Through all of my trials, a ruling that came is that true love is not fear in love's name. Thank y'all.
Thanks so much, Massimo.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great to have you.
Awesome.
I just see the names have flying in here. So just so that we can fit everybody in, can we keep like introductions? Not that you were long, Massimo, but can we keep introductions like 1.5% and then poetry 99% or whatever, just to kind of get everyone through? All right. Okay. So next, can we have Breida Spaight, please?
Hi everyone, and what a great evening's poetry already with Matt and Emily. So, okay, I have two poems, and both the background to them would be the pandemic. So, without any introduction, then, the first poem, the title is We'll Always Have Paris. All evening, we strolled through the Christmas streets of Paris, lined with bistros and elegantly dressed mannequins in shop windows. our arms linked like loops in a chain. A lifetime since we walked side by side on a night street. We ate onion soup, its aftertaste of cognac. Horse chestnut trees on the Champs-Élysées were draped in white lights as though veined with spring. Later, we're surprised to find ourselves here again. Your thighs, my arched back, the loyalty of the body, the scar along the length of your breastbone, neat as a zip that keeps your heart safe. A scene of pure calm, luminous as pearly light after a storm. Now we sit across from each other in an ICU waiting room. I examine the blue disposable gloves on my hands while you glare at a point above my head, sip vending machine coffee from a paper cup. Grey tubes trail from our daughter's mouth as she lies on her front, arms by her sides and palms facing up. We come and go, the streets deserted as though the world has abandoned us. Crows strut around empty litter bins. Our bodies prop each other as we nod off towards dawn. We wash stale sleep from our mouths with bottled water before meeting the consultant. Masks, face shields, the distance. And the second poem, the title is...
Sorry, we're only going to have time for one poem tonight, I'm afraid, because we have to fit everyone out. But thanks so much for reading.
Yeah, no bother. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for understanding. So next we have... 2 seconds, just scrolling back up now. So after read it, we have Pam Campbell, please.
This is breath. I hang back at the door like a shot fearing child. Kind women beckon, warm blanket in hand, and encourage me to the treatment table. Truth, I thought the second time would be easier. But now I know the after fire, the soundless invisible beam carves in my breast. It secures my life, I'm told. Arms stretch overhead and fasten in place. Hips adjust right and then left. My fingertips reach out and comfort each other. Tattooed and blue-marked body line up with exact precision to the machine's projected red ones. I am deemed ready. Truth, I am not ready. I whisper apologies to my breast. Through the drum of heartbeat in my ears, I hear, when you are ready, take a breath and hold it. Where are my carefully practiced imaginings? Where are mountain and sky? Where are hummingbird and blue jay? Tears trail, filling my ears. Truth, tears voice sadness and anger. Opens heart and cleanses soul. Take a breath and hold it. Breath is life. I close my eyes and drift down little river, the dipping of friends' paddles, a rhythmic cradling. Hummingbird flies from her tiny nest and covers my nakedness. Blue jay sings his whisper song and I sing with him. I empty my lungs and breathe in strong and steady and hold fast to the liquid drop of paddles and little river. Truth, I am not alone. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Pam. So next, I'm not sure if I'm going to get your surname right, but Francis Gollum.
Yep, that's how you pronounce it. This is a diss track
written from the point of view of an alabaster bust, which I bear an uncanny resemblance to, using the Mohs hardness scale. When I'm a granite, a gobbled grain like a gannet, but now I'm alabaster millstone. I'm wheat and you're chaff. You've all the class and gravitas of a gravel drive. You do languish in the garden centre, stranded amidst the water features. Your own albatross, milestone to my progress, because I'm alabaster. I'm alabaster. When I was sand, I too built castles, the seas moat, and believe me when I say I don't like to gloat, but the tide turns and I am returned. Alabaster. No, you are the pernickety picnicker's worst nightmare. You are the shameful reminding itch of a lover's gritty amorous sandwich. Oh, you do chortle in your glass girdle as you put eggs to yolk. Emery board does finer work, sandblaster, for you scour graffiti from the walls of council estates whilst I greet visitors ensconced in the names of noble estates. Because I'm alabaster. I'm alabaster. But I'm not too good for you. You see, when I was slate, I could with the best. But now I'm alabaster, you two. We both get dug up, but my display case gets more footfall because I'm the belle of the museum ball from antique Greece to ancient Rome, neoclassical exhibitions ensconced within gentry walls. No stone is so deified as me. Except arguably for that marvellous wannabe lap dancer of the Louvre. Now let me tell you something. When I were an aspirational plinthopper, I were forced to kiss the bare soles of illegitimate pilgrims' feet. Now I gaze from cathedrals vaulted peak at those poor bastards bald and patent, your stripy flooring. Where is your Michelangelo now? Kitchen work surface. And although I have no hands and therefore no might to smite back at those who may cause me contusions and so be placed above me on the Mohs hardness scale of mineral hardness, that hierarchy you surely understand is wholly specious. Million man-made means of identification through discrimination, because I'm as hard as nails, mate. I work my way up through metamorphic force majeure and damned good looks. And you can call it Deus Ex Machina, or strategy applied, one cannot deny that I have arrived. Although it is all for naught, isn't it, in the final analysis, for aren't we all destined to be one part of that final post-apocalyptic, recombobulated cosmic molten goop? And yet, I reached the apogee, and you were pulp. And this is the way the bourgeoisie go. Establish the limits, set up the goals, so the house always wins. Didn't make the rules, just cashed in. There you go.
Thanks very much, Francis. That was great camera work. Okay, next, can we have Sri Sen?
Hi, everyone. I'm Sri, I'm from Mumbai, but studying in Dublin right now. And this poem has been published in Poetry Island Review, this issue number 131. It's titled Semantics. Leaving my hometown, I was told I would be a second-class citizen in a first world country. As if being a brown girl in a brown country was any different. As if I wasn't scared all the time, my character attached to my neckline. As if I wasn't familiar with violence at home, on streets, inside my head, groped on the staircase by arthritic fingers of friend's grandfather, who walked us every morning to the stop for our school bus. My father had left, mother catatonic, my breasts were starting to show, holding out my elbows in crowded places to deter horny men with hard palms trying to grab me, practiced speed fondling of breasts locked tight enough to squeeze the breath from my shamefully ample chest, bulging waists grinding against me in crowded trains, buses, metro, my gender in the wrong place. General compartment is for brown men, designated metal boxes are for brown women. In my homeland, pale skin is entitled to bikinis and neon bras. Femur of burnt clay, uncovered, is an invitation in courts of gossip and panchayati raj. I miss the flames of Krishnachura, setting ablaze my window in a home not my own. Here, cherry blossoms are clouds trapped by branches dreaming of the sky, hard lines of guilt softening. I'm free to chop off my hair, grown long for men in a territory of humid scalps. Sometimes I still cower. Brown country is for brown men and a visa for me. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sri. So next we have Augustina.
Oh, just have to catch my breath there. Well done, Sri, that was really powerful. Okay, so. Some people claim to want an independent appearing person, but then it is a pain when the person is busy being independent and hustling. Complain when they do not have time to be a slave to communication and pander to their every needs and plant seeds of doubt and suspicion into a garden that could be fertile with a little bit of patience. They will be the first to make you explain your movements and show a bad attitude instead of showing patience and awareness that busy spells are not always permanent. Sometimes they are temporary. To pay one's bills in a legitimate way, a person must work. A working person will sometimes have days where they are swamped with targets and work. And even when they are not working, they might just want some time for themselves and not have to lurk around. Sometimes they might just not be a butterfly, a social butterfly person or a long calls type of person, but that always seems to worsen things, you know, when there are demands. The last thing they want is to open their phone to essays and accusations and have to justify themselves over and over again, living in more chains, accused of playing games, taking the blame and constantly feeling drained, whether at work or at home, in romantic life or personal life, family life, drained.
Thanks so much, Augustina. Great. Next we have Margaret O'Regan, please.
Thanks, Jim. This is called The Devil Wears Debenhams, and it's an acrostic poem. It reads down the left, The Devil Wears Debenhams. It's the trade union campaign name. These Debenhams workers have paved the way every minute of every day. Dignified women and men are they. Evil devils in Debenhams they face. Villainous vultures in boardroom culture. Imagine they can, with their despicable plan, lord it over the workers they slammed. Workers thrown on the scrap heap erupt and fight back, everyone so determined in this first COVID strike. A win for these workers is a win for us all, refusing to kowtow, not taking a fall, staying the course in all 11 stores. Debenhams directors, contemptible, covetous cretins, each and every one a grasping, avaricious louse. By standing up together, wherever they gather, every one of these workers will go hell for leather. Non-ending solidarity at home and far afield has enveloped these brave fighters in a force field and revealed a strength and revelation so supremely divine, making them the spearhead of revolt during COVID, standing firm and steadfast in face of corporate greed. Thank you.
Margaret, that title is fierce.
It is. It's the name of the campaign. The trade union actually coined it, but unfortunately the officials in the trade union are not following up as they should. But the workers are just amazing. They're our heroes.
Yeah. Yeah, still protesting, still fighting.
Yeah. Always.
Thanks, Margaret. Okay, next, can we have the poet Jeff, please?
How are you, Jim? How's things?
Oh, great. Yeah, really good. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. I come from a Dublin that's old school, where home truths and youths and shiny tracksuits. I come from a place where the best haircut was the step. People got wrecked and we were just let roam the streets freely. My gang was 10 deep. We'd spend our days hanging around corners, and when night came upon us, we became night crawlers, getting into trouble and running back to our mothers. Yeah, we were right little couriers. See, days were simple for us. Getting into trouble and getting out without much of a fuss. If we needed a ball, we'd doctor a card for sponsorship. Door-to-door chances. Will you sponsor us, miss? Getting just enough money for a cup champion football and a few bag of chips. See, this is the innocence that I miss. I remember the first time with the lads at a dirty mag. I remember when Big Al missed Halloween because he got sick from smoking fags. I remember being 15 and getting served and drinking cans with the lads. I remember when Git told me he kicked a needle out and won the lads ODing in the flats. But we were happy little chaps, hair gelled up, our eyes in their baseball caps. We'd slag off girls because we didn't want them to know that we liked them, or that we were into them, or that we'd spend all night dreaming to kiss them and all day pretending that we weren't looking at them, with the lads taking the absolute piss out of us because we wouldn't say that we wanted to wear the face off them. As nights had faded, go back to me gaff, spend some time with me down, watch TV for a laugh, because ours was a house that was always full of laughter. Even when my brother died. Even when the bank was at the door demanding money to take our house, me in the corner quiet as a mouse, seeing this strange man shouting the owl and giving out because the house was in her name and they could fuck right off. Times after that were tight. But my ma was a fighter, she fought for all of us. When things were rough, she was there to pick us up. When I had to cover a hole in me running with cardboard, she said, once it doesn't rain, then you'll be grand, and that stopped making it awkward. This matriarch and incredible heart is the hero with this story. See, she once told me, they can take anything, son, but they can't take your education. These are the words I live my life on. So when others were out worrying, I was in studying. When I didn't get the exact exam results I wanted and started worrying, she was there to comfort me, to encourage me, to keep on going. And every time I got hockeyed out of my life, I just think of me dad and his wife, how they didn't bring up their kids to feel sorry and to never worry, because no matter what they take, if you have your education, you can take it back. And sometimes I think back to those lads in the flats with their hair gelled up and the eyes and their baseball caps, and I think, what if they listened to me, ma? They could still be here. Instead, they're either dead or they're strung out and smack. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Very powerful. Thank you. So next, can we have Andrea Mbrashmana?
Hi, sorry, I'm just writing, that was great, Jeff, in the chat. I'm not going to do it, am I? Okay. Right. Okay. This is called Love Goes Senile, and I wrote it because I feel like getting old is kind of, it's a really rare and precious thing. It feels that way even more so now in a post-COVID world. So love goes senile, fails to recognize itself in the mirror, looks at the razor, wondering what it was for. Watch love hobbling down the street. It looks lost. It's forgotten to put shoes on, but it still likes to hold hands. Love is bored of bonfires, lights one bar of the living room fire and leaves it on all of the time. Love can't remember what it's lost or where it left the note, doesn't much mind. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Andrea. Okay, so next we have Doc Janning from America, please.
Thank you. Chilean ends of time. Sky glows in pinprick passage and streaming symphony of stars across eldritch ebon veil of night. Music rises, echoing endlessly into inchoate chorale of colors. Galaxies beckon from beyond, yielding basso background. All gather brusquely, all gather building brusquely in Arios operatic expressions and Chilead aeons of time. Buxom ballets de tout in sensual swirls of elegance, melding with powerful pans of life and soaring serenades of love. Caparisoned crescendos of passion stir ecstatic bolide of entropy into endless ebullient eternity, pulsing polyphony of pleasure and coded climax of unabashed afterglow. Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Next, can we have Cathal Holden, please?
Hey, guys. How are you? So I've been bouncing back and forth on what I'm going to read, but because there's been some amazing flow on tonight, I'm going to read something new that I'm still cooking it, but it's called Midnight. I wake up with the early worms. Get dressed like I've got lives to save. Maybe I mow the rubble after I grab an hour to meditate. Then I trim my stubble and my reflection in the microwave. Out into the underworld, I run to work beside the train. I leg the elevator up the building side. I jaywalk past your window on the top floor of your mind. I clock in on the steeple. For 9 hours I exist, hanging on the long ham by my goddamn fingertips. On top of my metropolis, taking the pre-apocalypse. All circus and no bread. The only swells inside your stomach makes you feel like you've been fed. See the world in insurance arson in a rundown local theater. Everything is real estate. The gods and fucking realtors. I hit the chicken soup kitchen for the bulletproof soul. Soup of the day today is a sense of self-control. I drive stick and leaded, a priest down in the abattoir. I feed the vultures and the cannons by the grease-collecting reservoir. I empty out my pencil pairings for the woodworm and the pigeonholes. Then it's back to shrinking giants to the wrong end of a microscope. And fate is writ upon the wall between the closing downs and coming soons. I'm sorry we can't serve you now. The kitchen's out of wooden spoons. Pinstripe every day, tourniquet casual. None from the neck down, vegetable animal. Underworld underground, peacoat and scarf. Little gangrene round the guillotine scars. See, it's ever so easy to be perfectly balanced when you're standing on the shoulders of the vertically challenged. I light a cartoon cigar as I step into the street. Maybe you was drawn bad, maybe it's just cheap. I keep an appointment with my anesthesiologist. He dispenses purple evenings from an easy where my office is. In between the caveman and the anthropologist, sitting with the other broken broncos from the rodeo clown colleges. And I'm like, hey, with a long face. I take a cig. I've been trying to quit the vaporizers. I've been in the saddle thanks to emotional stabilizers. I got my prescription. You don't have to ask. Saturday is bin night. I go out with the trash.
Some poem, Kyle. Well done. Okay, so next we have Amy Gurlitt, please.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
So this one is for Philip, that played a 6-word challenge with me during the pandemic when I was in need of poetry. He's the only one that will notice the words. A girl stared at herself in the mirror and began to mock herself. Look at this nose. Its tip almost touches the clouds. Look at this chin running into her collarbone as if it was afraid of something. And this face, way too serious, predestined to get asked to smile more. A girl rolled herself a cigarette and began to question her own hands. Have you done anything else except feeding yourself poison? Are you not here to create? Or at least touch another one with love? A girl cried into her palms and salty streams fled down her wrists. Darkened spots on the ground marked where she planted her sadness like seeds. A girl sat in her garden and began to speak to the mushrooms. Are you all alone here too? The grass, does it make you forget who you are sometimes? And is it true that the rain is sweet and gentle when it strokes your head? A girl closed her eyes and saw her heart for the first time. It was a landscape as magnificent as the Emerald Island, with cliffs just as tragic and secret pathways just as magic. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Amy. Next, can we have Paul Butterfield Jr.?
I think that's unmuted now.
Yep, we gotcha.
Cool, thanks. This poem's called The Dark Wank. I hate my heartbeat, yet I work from God, from a renaissance of dark wanks. I wait about in a day, thinking the next life is just the same as here, with the same alcoholics and the same faces that passed their turn. Yet, I am reunited with them in their blue bags. We never changed in body, mind, or shape, still searching for the same answers, and our profits are even lost. Will any of us really know? Can we truly not just be at peace with Bacon's truth of the pitch? Even I don't cringe at my own obscurity anymore, but from my own obscure thinking, from a renaissance of dark wanks, I see this. The obscure is the death of little hearts that never even had a chance or the change of £100 in their torn pockets. It will take one solitary man to stand up for Bill's last speech as he knew he was dying, and to make this happen for a truly happy world out of love and fascination. As I've mentioned before, as I look at myself in the living room mirror, I realize I am only human and only an artist. I would love to be that solitary man, but I cry at my own selfish, penny-dropping charity existence. I can only do what I can from these dark wanks in hopes it will inspire that man. It's not about fame, the heart says to the artist. It is the difference you can make from the words you put together to cause a catalyst for the solid man and say this: I love you, life. I love you, people. I love this light, and we will always love from this flick. It's not about my death or the alcoholics. Even they and I stood a chance. It's all about the little hearts that died while I surrendered. Just listen to each soul that walks past, and you will know what to do straight from God to yourself. Life is all inspired from a renaissance of dark wanks who go out now and make love. As I've said before, what is reality? When you break it down through its component parts, it's nothing. We are all lost in something that we will never understand. But as I see a hunting dog so close to a bird, and all they want to do is kiss, I stand at the bottom of the stairs looking up. I walk slowly, escalating to the room of dark wanks. I am debilitated and centered for the earth to spin in peace from my only heartbeat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Paul. So next, can we have Scott Cole, please?
I've been since you left with no reason why, like Wordsworth's cloud in the empty sky. I cried more tears than Smokey's clown into Julie's river, damned with a frown. I've been as angry as Marshall Stan, crazed and confused like a madman, and I'm telling you, like Carly to Warren, your vanity's ugly. You're abhorrent. Like Gallagher Sally, you've missed your turn, and in my thoughts you will burn. I'll be gone, but you won't miss me. I'll be forgotten like The Beatles, Miss Rigby. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. So next, can we have Rishdi, please?
Hello.
Hello.
This is my first poem in 2 years, and I'm absolutely hammered, so it's going to be an experience.
Good to have you back.
Thanks, Jim. It's very sexy. Okay. I used to think sex was this exclusively intimate thing, aimed to hold two souls together, feather-light touch, hushed tones, low moans, heart shown, caressing tender soft skin as if it would crack under pressure and sever and shrivel in pain as I pushed it beyond our measured pleasure. But that couldn't last forever, and I realized that one woman didn't represent other members' visions, and I began to surrender. At first, I put up walls and castigated myself for feeling that healing required a period of celibacy, started to question and wrestle with others' perspectives and struggle through this repression. Why can't I find someone to give love to me? Why don't you want to see me whole without realizing that the weight on my soul was palpable and the toll of thoughts of sharing that fever dream with another would smother if it ever happened truly? Treating myself so cruelly, I thought that I'd lost sight of my feelings, that they were a failure, that I was worthless, and even when I pushed through and pursued that intimacy, I just felt guilty and then empty. And I moved past that, and I was able to cast a vision of the future without that heavy soul groan as I faced into the unknown alone. I detached and realized that my need for touch was traced through physical surges, from primal urges that manifest themselves through drunken forays with stilted conversation the next day and strayed from the mind as if we were blind to the act, to unspoken tact and right tight smiles when passing by, to moments of release when the depth there was open and shared through a rare night of passion as if fashioned by design to give us enough love to shine a light and pause the grinds of the struggles and strife of our private lives for just another little while. It felt both cruel and kind to separate the act from the mind, the wisp of touch upon my skin conflicted with the tinge of guilt if I risked the sin. I flinch and fade between these brainwaves and stave thoughts of better timing, more knowledge, and wishing I just had a little bit less whiskey. And of course, once in a while, you meet someone totally compatible, and that gentle smell of herbal perfume blooms and breathes new life into a language of nonverbal communication. Racing hearts tapped into elation, ecstasy, and extremes, skin ripped to shreds, wet lips touch lifted hips, tracing the tips of sensitivity, gently pressing skin to skin, breast to chest, faces flushed and fierce. And for a moment, you'd swear that this is love, and the blood races to the precipices of our brain as we stop trying to contain ourselves and collapse, aimless and tangled in heavy breaths, pulling deep and steep and slowly coming back to ourselves and realizing with maturity that making love isn't the same as falling in love, and that hard kisses simply aren't enough to make that relationship last. So I float unattached and meet and sleep without expectations, enjoying the moments of confinement, exploration, not seeking anything but experience, listening content to my consciousness, not putting hope in these raw moments of vulnerability, and not distraught by rejection, falling into a loving acceptance, knowing that my self-worth isn't defined by the act but supported by it, that sex isn't slowly a physical emotion, but a thing, but something that is between meaningful and meaningless, and who knows what will grow. Maybe someday I will be able to gloat that I have achieved an intimate emotional sexual relationship that is sustainably both.
Thank you very much, Rishdi. Okay, Doc. Next, can we have Myra Stevens, please?
Hi, okay. Not done this one before, but after Dee's thing today, I thought I'd try it out here. It's based on something my dad told me about when he first came over and went to England the first time. Invited in, shipped in, to live and work and make their homes, welcomed with signs that read, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. Signs that said, no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. So get along, move along. You're not welcome, not wanted here, but your labour's wanted. Your blood, sweat and tears are wanted. And they stayed and they worked, paid their taxes, paid their dues. The sign disappeared. Still in the pubs and clubs, the black jokes, the Irish jokes were told. In the corner of the living rooms, the televisions blared. The black jokes, the Irish jokes, the thick and lazy jokes. But they stayed and worked, paid their taxes, paid their dues, raised their families. Black jokes and Irish jokes, no longer on the television, still suspicion. Next generations, born and bred, English. The Irish, by the colour of their skin, blend in. Still suspect, but camouflaged at large. Not denied opportunity. Can no longer say no blacks, no Irish with impunity. Can't say no blacks, no Irish with immunity. But still denied equality, less blatantly denied equality. And being black shows who you are. You cannot hide, should not hide. And the racism is there. They see the colour of your skin and cross the road, assume guilt. And when you say enough, when you say no more, when pushed, push back, they say, see, the blacks are violent, feel justified in their hate, justified to push you down, keep you down, justified in their injustice. So black and Irish stand, black and green, red, white and blue together stand, every hue hand in hand together stand, because black lives matter.
Thanks very much, Myra, very powerful. So next, can we have Sue Blue, please?
Wow, what a night. It's getting longer. I'm going to do a poem that I recently done in Waterford as well, at the Modwarts open mic on Friday. And we wrote this, we wrote on the topic of the other self with the Blue Mondays. And so this is a piece that came from that. My other self. My other self is a night owl, quiet and swift upon her wings, spread out sailing softly until the hunt is on. Then, like a dart, silently swoops down in stealth, wings tucked streamlined, drops from the starry sky beneath the quiet moon. My other self is the mouse, darting beneath the roots, digging tunnels, converging. My nest nestled in a cave, entrance and exit, leading upwards, moonlit, to the woods above the ground, with leaves and rocks to hide. There is always a way out. My other self is a tiger, stripy paws padded, smooth as silence, raw as wrath, slick as the supple night that calls the hunter to the bait. Beating pulse, its death cry echoing, while my heart steadies under the warm flow of blood. My other self is a spider, arachnoid speed on hairy legs, weaving the magic, a sticky patch, an octopod waiting with patience at the lure. Stretched out in blind sight, designed to catch only the best, designed to leave a bite, a mark deep and scary. My other self is the night, itself soothing against the burning light of day, its quiet satin flow allowing for the song of the universe to pierce the darkness, come through to me. My tiny receiver nearly burning from the brightness of its music. My other self is an angel. The essence, like liquid light, flows through my veins as it flows through yours. And my wings, wide and white, carry me to where I'm needed, to you. As I touch you and wrap you, my feathers soft as a night owl's, this light flows over. My other self is you. Thanks very much. That's it for me.
Sue, that was really good. I love that.
Nice one, thanks. Thanks.
The arachnoid hairy legs. I love it. Okay.
Thanks.
Next, can we have Ada Miles, please?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. This is an amazing night. Know all the poems. I want to read something I once sent to a Wales competition for awards. I retitled it since then. It was called Monuments and Cutlery. Now it's called The Flip Side. It's inspired part by the suggested five words and part by Ian Dury and the Blockheads, the punchy texts and the sound. And I wonder if I can do it a bit like Ian Dury himself. We'll see. It's about the crappy quality of almost any device you buy nowadays. And I think it's a very, it's a very good topic. It happens to people. The words were syzygy, glass, innocent, coin, and lilt. Need to get the breather. Signs form a nest of sense where from the snakes crawl out and lint and chart, the loitering to buy. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it then. Instead, allow it to stand, infuse, observe with glassy stares a bit. It soon becomes a monument. Its uselessness becomes a hit. The stitching time will save it none if you should really want to use this marvelous appliance. Mind, the monument is innocent as coins that brought it to your home. Pecunian and all that made. But there, we see your tenses, pardon, let the stress corrode your mind. This means you should be well advised for you to find yourself a place where one's enabled simply with a syzygy of knife and fork to sagely seize a scissor feet. Ourselves, we would suggest you hit the capital, a lovely place. Scenes from a nest of signs, a choir of snakes adorned with corporate wear, and lilts and charms the loitering to eye and clank the cutter. That's it. Crappy quality all over the place. I've known it and I will know it since now many times more.
You can find that book in the anthology, or that poem in the anthology, can't you? That one got
No. It didn't win anything, but I still think it was worth giving it a chance as a live performance.
Ah, okay. I remember the word syzygy. Okay. Thanks very much, Ada.
Good word. Inspired me.
Okay. Next, can we have Emily Davis Fletcher?
Hi. I remember when I was the only American on here. Okay, so I'm going to read an old poem that I wrote 7 years ago now, after my birthday, and it was just my birthday recently, so I just want to read this poem again. All right, so this is Turning 30. Now you blame no one and nothing, not heat wringing your body, not the crystal ball revealed in your mother's lung, not the caged mutt salivating for coming rain like blood, not the cicada's sex rattle or the trees dressed for hangings, not the man who grabbed your thighs to pull you from an angel oak, not stories of ghosts and first loves rising over the exhaust of hearses corralled out back as gray dawn blows out shadows of leaves across his wood, not the skin you left behind, still feeling for the first time you own every move, ripe with loss as you outlive another death.
Thanks very much, Emily. So next, can we have Mary O'Connell, please? You're still mute there, Mary. I think I can send you a thing to unmute.
Well, Debenhams is getting another little mention after Margaret's Regan's mention. This is called Lost for Words. Imagine you're in Debenhams chatting to a friend when suddenly a word you know slips outside your mind. You make efforts to retrieve it, fear you'll be found out. Past experience only shows that panic makes things worse. You gently try to nudge it back to where it was before, but delicate maneuvering has no effect at all. You know that you should let it be, hoping it comes back, not sink when swallowed by the void, lost without a trace. Meanwhile, You see your puzzled friend waiting for a sign that you'll take up the thread of what you've been trying to say. You realize the game is up. Know that the time has come to explain a senior moment has stopped you making sense. You paraphrase as best you can what you've been trying to say. With a nod of recognition, the friend is seen to smile. The word that you've been searching for, she has understood. You feel relieved on hearing her mouth it into sound. That's it.
You and Margaret make me want to do a Debenhams poem now. I'm going to have to do one.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary. So next, can we have Philip Spillane, please?
Hey, everyone. It's a pleasure to see you all again. Because it's my birthday month, I always do something risky on my birthday month. I have Master Yupa here, and I was going to play a small instrumental. I was going to do a poem on top of that, but since we got a warning of time, I might just do the instrumental. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Because I want to hear more poems instead of my own, because I hear my own every day. And this is called Wind Without a Name. And you're more than welcome to, because my voice isn't that strong, you're more than welcome to unmute yourself and help me out with your throat singing or your humming or your harmonic talent. Be really, really grateful.
Wait a minute, harmonic? I'm good. No, I won't get it.
So much. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Phil. Next, can we have Mags Creedon, please? You're still mute there. I'll send you a little thing. Yeah, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, so we just were asked to read something on being invisible. So I'm afraid this came out. I like happy ones, but these sometimes a little different forms of invisibility. He dons a mantle of oblivion so that no one sees the state he's in. Drops his eyes, don't engage. Stops him reading from his page. Just change the color of your skin. Morph like you're a chameleon. Blend into the foliage. Sink into your camouflage. May secret messages encrypt you. Encoded smoking signals cloak you. Like an aging woman, they look through you to themselves. Like a cat at night, we'll steal right past you. Slick and back, he'll sneak right to you. Click the latch, he's in there. Leave you wondering just where. Like a child who keeps his eyes right down, a duty bound, won't look around. Silent he stays, transparent and pale. Make sure not to be found in there. Go to the land of the disappeared, where they stow away all their hidden fears. Deep in the ground, where pain cannot be found, be invisible, my dear. He dons his mantle of oblivion, so that no one sees the state he's in. Drops his eyes, won't engage, stops them reading from his page. Just change the color of your redly skin, morph just like a chameleon, blend into the foliage, blink into your camouflage, be invisible, my dear. That's it. Do a happy one next night.
Thanks very much, Mags. We had a lot of poets there. I just want to check, did I get you, or did I...
You got
it. So I just saw your private message there. Okay, that's fine. No problem. Okay. Okay. So thanks very much, Mags. Next. Has Doc gone? You've gone already, haven't you, Doc? Yeah. Okay. All right. So next then on the list is Kieran McCartan, please.
Hello, how are we all? I want to say a big hello to all the Coventry folks, Rafe and Andrea and everybody. We were thoroughly smitten by Coventry when we went over there a couple of years ago, so hope you're all doing well. Glad to see you're able to join us virtually. And this is just a short little poem. I don't call it God. I don't think God is necessarily what it should be called when talking about the thing you're talking about when you talk about God. What's known to have happened is enough. What is happening, what was. That the shells and the high Rockies were once under the sea, that you've only ever been 7 degrees separated from me. That I look the image of ancestors I've never met, that there's some things I never remember and some I never forget. That there are 3,700 voices on the streets not far from here, and all of them have choices and all of them have fear and hope and admiration for the scenes they set upon. May the worst not tempt me, may my day not be too long. Just long enough to participate, reiterate and bounce, fed, watered, and welcomed with nothing to announce. That the beauty of the reel-to-reel is in the rolling of the film. That your senses take in everything, that your mind acts on whim. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kieran. So I think I've got, have I missed anyone?
Cedric.
Okay.
The winner.
Sorry, Cedric. There's about 100 messages there. I missed you.
Sure. I think it was Catherine is on there as well. Did Pam actually read?
Yeah.
Pam read, yeah.
Okay. So
mine is very, very, very short, so don't worry.
Oh, no problem.
And Catherine. Won't you be short enough?
I think Cedric is first. I don't mind.
Either way, it's fine.
Okay, well, I'm super short, so...
Go ahead, Catherine. Yeah, go ahead, Evan.
My poem is called Pages, but it's only 8 lines long. Pages. I cannot kiss your blank mouth. Too many stories to tell in an hour. But in a day of folding, I might grieve. Seek your shoulder. Feel young again. Turn the pages.
Hey. Okay, nice.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Catherine. Oh, thank you.
Nice.
Okay, so Cedric?
Yeah. So mine is called Anthem. The sky will show colors always. Only the eye of a beholder will find in its beauty. And the world will go round, one revolution at a time. The heavens will cycle through. The tree of evolution is inflamed. Civilization beat, hearts burn. Wisdom of the earth flattened to a line. There is justice under the sun. It's brown, golden, tanned, cream. Yet the truth isn't heard. The blue blood spills red, unashamed, trying black and blue to choke the screen. Spit from the castle's walls down the street. No lives can ever matter, for all their shades fade to white and gray, ashes from charcoal. Smoke raising to the sky from the campfire of life, where all waited for the night to end. They burnt out from a flame, a shame they once carried themselves to this place to reflect, to rest. This tomorrow will follow without a need for agreement, one revolution at a time. The arrogance of comfort will prove shallow. The day will rise and the sun will burn the white color back to dark crime. No life will matter either then. The sky will show colors again with no beholder to find its beauty.
Thanks so much, Cedric, our challenge winner.
Thank you.
So I think that actually that is the end of the open mic. So thanks so much to all of our readers. It was a really long marathon of a night and it was amazing. Have I missed anyone? No? I don't think so. No. Okay. But it was a fabulous marathon of poetry tonight. Like it was much longer than a normal Ovale, I think. And it was so enjoyable. And so can we just have a big round of applause again for our guest poets, Emily Lauren Jones. All the muted applause. Yay. Emily, and also to our other guest poet, Matt Black.